Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw all the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the day, the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let them divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters that were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. And let the day land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. And God saw it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb and the yields the seed according to its kind, and the tree yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw it was good. So the evening and the morning, the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens, and divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God saw them in the firmament in the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the heavens of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abound, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind. Everything creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created he him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them. God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I've given every herb that yields on that yields seed which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you shall be for food." Everything. You started this last week. Many of you, as you read those words, some of us for the first time, some of us have said, "Well, you know, the Bible is so real." But I've never taken the time to spend with God. But this year, 1% of my life, this year, to learn about a God who created the heavens and the earth, this year, I'm joining together. But have you ever realized how many people are joining with you? just for a brief moment, I looked over there and I saw all those little orange dots mounting up. And that's not all that read it this week. I know that. Some of us will do it later on, another day, another time. But we read the Word. One of the things that we understand is that God is going to get the Word out over the world. I read something this morning on this next slide that kind of caught my attention. I hope you can read most of this. Are anybody familiar with YouVersion? YouVersion, it's an app on a cell phone. An app on a cell phone in which I've been using for some kind of years now. In fact, I think it's about 11 years old this app's been around. But look at the numbers that it's added up. 5.6 billion chapters listened to. Now, I can't count a billion. I'm not even going to try. But 5.6 billion chapters were listened to. If I had my cell phone, I'd bring it and show it to you. 35.6 billion chapters read. So see, some of you are joining. 1.1 billion days spent in Bible plans. You know what you're doing this morning? This week you are reading through a Bible plan. On that particular app, 1.1 billion days were spent. 11 years, downloaded 400 million times this app on the phone. But here's one that got me. This app has been downloaded on every country on planet Earth. Think about that. When's the Lord going to return? When it's Word spread all over the earth. And today, the Word is in all the countries on planet Earth. In this particular app is 1,350 languages. And then 2,000 versions. King James Version, New American Standard, New Living, 2,000 versions. But just capture the moment. The Word of God is in every country in the world. You now have launched, along with millions of people, going through the Word. But how are you going to do this? How are you going to be motivated to stay with the stuff? Next slide coming up. What motivates a person to read? And we're going to be capturing a lot of our studies and all are going to be going through the period of time. And then we're going to focus in, we're going to hunker down, and we'll capture certain verses. But for me, I'd like to challenge us as we read through the Bible. Number one, read with purpose. Now, I've got some background, maybe I've already shared with you. At a Christmas dinner the other day, I was eating over, my brother does barbecue chicken, and anytime the smoke goes up, that's a call. That is like, you know, just go to Waddy's house. Okay, well, he had smoked chicken and his kin folks, and we just kind of bumped in and at the right time. And we were sitting around and we were talking in Bubba. One of the father-in-laws, one of the children there, said, the first time I read through the Bible, I didn't get anything out of it. And that kind of, you know, made my ear kind of tickle. And he said, I read through the second time and, well, didn't get that much. But when I read through the third time, man, I started getting it all over the place. Folks, what I want to help you to do is start getting it the first time through. If you'll follow these simple principles and start allowing your mind to expand and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, you're going to see, hear, and experience things you've never done before. How do I know that? I know it because I've done it. Number one, read with a purpose. When you're reading, don't just scan it, take it, and check it. Read with a purpose. That's the reason I underline, I circle, and I stop. And me and Ronnie, it takes us more than 15 minutes sometimes to read this. Okay, just let you alone. Read, look for Jesus in the Scriptures. Now, the reason I say that is let me give you some of what was said. When you read for purpose, when you look for Jesus, in John 5:39, the Bible says, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." That was Jesus speaking to non-believers. People are searching the Scripture for eternal life, but in these you find it speaks of me. And then he said in John 5:45, he says, "Do not think I shall accuse you to my Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" He's writing to non-believers right here. The political structure, Pharisees, guys that should have known. But what were the writing of Moses? The writing of Moses are the first five books. What is the first five books of the Bible, Cooper? Got it. Okay. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. First five books in the Bible, known as the writings of Moses. Jesus said, "Moses testified about me." That's the reason why when we're going through the Scripture, it says, "I am looking for something." And then listen to what Jesus said to believers in Luke 24:27. Two on the road to Emmaus after Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. He talked to the two and he said, Luke 24:27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself." Writings of Moses and all the prophets. That's what we're going to be reading. And Jesus expounded to these about that with himself. Now, secondly, we need to read the Bible with urgency. Now, I know that sometimes, if you're like me, I'm reading through and I get sleepy. Y'all ever do that? When y'all read, y'all ever get sleepy? Sometimes I consciously got to read with a sense of urgency to help me overcome my sleepiness. Because I can tell you, sometimes sleepiness, I don't think that comes from Jesus. Okay? If it doesn't come from Jesus, I wonder where it's coming from. Yeah, y'all know. Read with a sense of urgency. In other words, look for Jesus as a matter of the heart. When you're reading through the Bible, you want to say, "Okay, God, speak to my heart. I want to know you." Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Because some of you are going to bear forth the excuse and you're going to say, "Well, preacher, I didn't go to seminary." Okay. "Preacher, I didn't go to college." Okay. "Preacher, I didn't even finish high school." Okay. Neither did Peter, James, or John, any of those guys, okay? None of them. So what that means is that each one of us, we can get it if we search for it with all of our heart. It's there. It's light. And then read with conviction. In other words, look for Jesus as a life mission. Some of us are going to be tempted to say, "Well, check off and I'll see you and I won't ever read that one again." But if you say, "Man, this is a part of my life mission. I'm going to read the Word of God the rest of my life. I'm only going to give 1% of my life this year. But you know what? Next year, I'm going to give Him my life too." If your life's mission is reading the Word from Almighty God who created the heavens and the earth and made you in His image, then you're going to discover some things. Because I can also tell you this. You may come up and you may like Bubba. And Bubba is a strong Christian, okay guys? Love him. Goes on mission trips, whole nine yards. Worked in Christian camps, whole nine yards. But here's what happens. If you don't stay with the stuff, you can lose it. Let me read it to you. 2 Chronicles 15:2. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Did you get that? If you seek him, you'll find him. But if you close the book, turn your back, you're not going to see him. Kind of like my grandson Dalton said. He said, "Granddaddy." Now, he's a little bit southern, okay? He says, "Granddaddy." He says, "If you're not out there, you can't shoot the deer." And he's right. Got to be out there. When you go for the scriptures, you read with conviction. Because when you start reading with conviction, then something's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to have a place in you. He's going to work in you. Number four, read with confidence. Read with confidence. Look for truth. And here's something that we need to settle right here now. The Bible is 100% accurate. Okay? The Bible is 100% accurate. And if you doubt the Bible, then you doubt the Word and you doubt the Creator. So the Bible is, and here's where we're coming from. The Bible can be fully trusted. Here's what Jesus said in John 14:6. He said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In other words, Jesus says, "I'm the truth." And where's the truth found? It's found here. And there are no errors in the Bible. 100% accurate. Because if you said, "Well, I'm going to take this first, but I'm not going to take that one," then you're saying it's not accurate. Then you're saying, "I can pick and choose." No, it's either all or it's nothing. Therefore, the Bible, we're all in. 100% accurate. And did y'all hear what Ronald Reagan said? The answer to all the world's problem is found where? In the Bible. Wow! I like that. You got a problem? Where's the answer? It's there. It's there. And if you seek it, you're going to find it. Now, let me just give you kind of a little one excerpt so that we kind of stay on track with this. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, we talked about Jesus being the creator of the universe. Okay? In the beginning, we read Genesis 1. But in the beginning, God created. So in John chapter 1 and verse 1, I'd like to read these words to you. "In the beginning was the Word." Now the Word here, understand, is Jesus. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it." Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word." Capture that. In the beginning. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In the beginning, Jesus. Now, I decided to kind of look there. You know, next slide says, You can't read this too well, but let me read it to you. I got my first text. I got so excited because somebody texted me about a question. And see, that's what we're asking you to do during the week and all. When you're reading something and something doesn't ring true to your mind, you got a question about it, man, just stop right there and text me. And I will at some point in time get back with you. Because here's what the text came to me says. Explain verses 6 through 8 of Genesis chapter 1. Tish is leaving Friday and will not be here for Sunday. So the response was, well, let me read you the scripture. It's there on the wall. It says, "Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let the waters divide the waters from the waters." Now, that sounds confusing, doesn't it? "Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament." And it was so. "And God called the firmament heaven." So the evening and the morning were the second day. Folks, is that confusing? Yeah, that's confusing. Until you kind of look at this thing, he divided the waters. Boy, y'all should have seen it this morning. Flora's lake house has got a picture window. And out there on the water, you saw this cloud just going around on the water. It was, you know, the mist and all coming up from the water. It was just kind of circling on that. And then I saw a figure eight on the water. Man, and I just wondered if the angels were out there just dancing on the water. But you know what happens to that mist? It lifts, doesn't it? It goes up. Where does it go? It goes into the heaven. And the lake stayed down here on earth. So he divided the waters, the firmament. And that went up he called heaven. And that was down here on earth, the earth. And then he'll divide the waters coming up. But when you get a little piece of information like that, all of a sudden you say, "Wow! I didn't know that. Now that makes sense to me." Well, let me kind of give you a volume of information in a short term right here. That's going to be the hardest part that I have during this year, folks. I got more that I want to tell you than I got time for. And Gene, I'm going to try, okay? I'm going to try. I'm going to try to get it in. But what you read, what you started reading, what happened? You had the beginning of the human race in Genesis chapter 1. And then in Genesis chapter 11, chapter 12, you find the beginning of the Hebrew race. Now the Hebrew race are the Hebrew-speaking people, the language. We think today, the Jews, okay? So you got two things happening. In verse chapter 1 and 2, you've got the creation. And then chapter 3 to 5, you got the fall of man. And oh, do we need to learn these things. In chapter 6, you read about the flood. And then in chapter 10, you read how the nations, oh, they all gathered in one place speaking one language, and God says, "That ain't going to get it." So Jesus came down, and when he looked and saw what all the people were doing and building this tower up, they called it the Tower of Babel, Jesus says, well, now I went to New Hope, and New Hope would say, "You ain't going to get it," okay? Bad English, but good preaching, okay? So it's not going to get it. And so what he did was he touched the tongues, and they began to speak different languages. That's where the nations of the world, the Chinese, the Russians, the Indians, the English speaking, all of these came out of that place, that time, Genesis 10 and 11. Because they all went in one spot and God said, "That ain't going to get it." That's the first 2,000 years. Now, roughly these days, years, I don't try to break off and say, okay, now that was 4,001 years. I don't get that, okay? I don't understand 4,000 years ago, neither do you. But 4,000 years ago, I was around for about 2,000 years, you find those first 12 chapters. Then it kicks off with the Hebrew race of Abraham in chapter 11 and 12 through 25. Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob, and then boy, if y'all enjoyed reading about Joseph, or y'all hadn't got there yet, you have. Okay, and you're going to read about Joseph, one of the most exciting stories you ever read in the Bible. And when you begin to look at Joseph, he was a lot like Jesus. Man, you are in for some good reading. And that lasted around 193 years. From around 2090 to around 1897 B.C. First part of the book in the area of Eden, modern Iran, over in that area, Iraq, in that area. Second part in Canaan, modern area around Israel. We're talking about real people, real time, real problems, and a real God. Okay, now for the next minutes, we're going to look, how can I see Jesus? When we look in following Jesus, the first thing I want you to know, you were created in His image. And that's coming up right there. God created something out of nothing. And guess what? There was a time in which we were nothing. And now we're something. When you look at me, who do you see? Oh, I see your mama in you. Or some are going to say, oh, I see your daddy in you. And some are going to say, I see the devil in you. No, don't go down that way. Okay? But we were created, and we were created in the image of God. You want to know why you're so valuable? Is because when God looks at you, God sees Himself. You are valuable because you are in His image. Image of God. Don't let anybody ever tell you you're nothing. Because folks, you are in the image of God Almighty who created the universe. You are special. And He gave you a purpose. It's with Adam and Eve. Go to the garden. You put them in the garden. He said, till the garden. Take care of the garden. And He gave them words of instruction. But all of a sudden, in the middle of that instruction, they rebelled. And that's where the fall of man comes. In the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve rebelled against the Word of God. Sin was on. And then we carry on with the story. It got so bad that God said, I'm sorry I even made man. And He said, I'm going to destroy them all. God said it. God did it. Except for one man. Noah. One man on the face of the earth was righteous. One man followed God. And because of that one man's faith, his family was saved. One man. So the question is this morning, do you have that kind of faith? Do you have that kind? You're special, created in the image of God. Giving your life to the Word. 1%, you're going to be totally different. You're going to join with millions, literally millions of people that are living in the world right now that are reading the same thing you're reading. And they're finding Jesus. Just like you will find Jesus. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we are thankful for the grace of God. We are thankful, Lord, that you looked upon us and yes, Lord, we're just like that bunch back then. We deserved the punishment. But God, you showed mercy. You showed mercy by sending Jesus Christ into this world. You love us now. You created us. We need to believe you, God, because you're the truth. We need to serve you, Lord, because you're here with us today. And we need to worship you because you're worthy of all of our worship. So, Lord, this day, this hour, this time, we spend it for you, Lord. So let us be a part of the exceptional group of the millions who are seeking Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So what do? Give me that last slide. Give me that last slide up there. Four things I'd like for you to do. In reading Genesis number 1, God created you in His image. Therefore, you are valuable. Number 2. God has a plan for your salvation. Trust Him. So you're asking me, what do we do during this time of invitation commitment? We realize that we're in God's image. 2. We receive God's plan of salvation for us. We're going to trust Him. Number 3, God is present in the world right now. And because God is present in the world right now, serve Him. You can say, how do I know that God is present in the world right now? Because of this application that says the Bible. Billions of people, every country of the world, God is present. And number 4, God shows His love for you in Christ Jesus. Therefore, worship Him. So again, what do you want me to do, preacher? Number 1, realize who you are. Number 2, realize and receive His plan for you. Number 3, serve Him. Serve Him with all your heart. And number 4, love Him because He loves you. And last, worship Him with the fruit of our lips. How do I respond this morning? Number 1, if you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to be standing down front here. I'd like for you to come and say, hey, I asked Jesus Christ in my heart this week. Or 2, you might say, I'd like to ask Jesus in my heart today. And we'll pray together. Either way, we're going to celebrate with you. Next, some of you haven't started reading the Scriptures. You may be so far behind, you can say, I can't ever get caught up. And if that's the case, then you start today with today's Scriptures. Let the light come in today. And that's okay. And that's okay. All the problems are found in this book. So let's say, God, I got a problem. Show me the answer. And He will do that. He will do that. So what do you want God to do today? Prayer altars are going to be open. People can make decisions. Let's stand together and sing.